Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Friday, the 16th of June, 2017. Welcome to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host.
And I'm Wanjiko Maura.
On the program today is the Day of the African Child. We hear how it has been commemorated in South Africa.
Decided that we want to commemorate the significance of this day and also to come together and have a good time.
As young people, there's a lot of temptations, alcohol, the increase of the study fees and a lot of stuff, but most importantly is peer pressure.
Zambian churches condemn the incarceration of opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema. Our correspondent in Lusaka has been telling me how influential the church is.
The church is very, very influential in Zambia, and I must say that they have played a very, very important role right from the beginning.
And on social media, we are monitoring your comments and receiving them as well. So if you'd like to take part in these conversations, go over to our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Very correct, Wanjiko. But before all that, here's a chance to listen to what's been happening around the world.
This is DW News with me, Crispin Mwakideu. Former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl is dead. Kohl was regarded as the father of German reunification and architect of European integration. He was Germany's Chancellor from 1982 until 1998. 4 people have been killed and 11 others wounded when a passenger vehicle drove over an improvised explosive device in northeastern Kenya. No one has claimed responsibility, but Somalia's Al-Shabaab militants have carried out similar attacks in the past month, which have killed at least 30 people. British Prime Minister Theresa May on Friday visited survivors of the London Grenfell Tower fire. May had earlier been criticised for not visiting the victims when she toured the scene of the fire incident. Meanwhile, London's police commander Stuart Candy said on Friday there was nothing so far to suggest that the fire had been deliberately started. He also regretted the rising number of casualties.
Now, sadly, as I've said before, we always knew the number of those that had died would increase. And I'm able to say at this point in time, we know that at least 30 people have died as a result of this fire. 12 of those victims have been taken to the mortuary, and a number of those bodies sadly still remain here within Grenfell Tower.
You're listening to DW News. Malawi has ordered Hutu and Tutsi refugees from Rwanda and Burundi to stop violent clashes. The fighting has been taking place at Zaleka refugee camp located in Doa district on the outskirts of the capital Lilongwe, AFP reported, citing unconfirmed local reports. Ethnic tensions between the Hutus and Tutsis led to the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, in which around 800,000, mostly Tutsi people, were killed. Malaysian custom officials have seized several boxes stashed with pangolin scales. The cargo arrived in Kuala Lumpur on a Turkish Airways flight which flew from Ghana and made a transit in Istanbul. Hamza bin Sundang, airport customs director, told reporters the discovery was made on Thursday.
On examining the boxes, we found that they contained a total of almost 400 kilograms of pangolin scales. We believe this would fetch a street price of almost 5 million Malaysian ringgit.
Conservationists say pangolins are the world's most trafficked animals. 1 kilogram of their scales can cost up to $460. And finally, in sports, Real Madrid forward Cristiano Ronaldo wants to leave the club and Spain after being accused of committing tax fraud. Portuguese sports daily Abola said on Friday. Spanish prosecutors accuse Ronaldo of defrauding tax authorities of more than 14 million euros by hiding his image rights income between 2011 and 2014. Ronaldo has denied any wrongdoing. The prolific striker led Real Madrid to their 12th Champions League trophy this year, as well as winning La Liga. For more news and information, visit dw.com or download our DW app. I'm Crispin Mwakideu.
Welcome once again to the program. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
With me, Wanjiko Maura.
Thousands of South African youth gathered in different places across the country to commemorate the 41st anniversary of the historic youth uprising. Today, 41 years ago, hundreds of students marched to protest the poor quality of education. Many were shot dead by police under the then apartheid regime. This year, South Africans commemorated the day under the theme Youth to the Front, leading the charge on radical economic transformation. Tuzo Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
It was celebrations all over South Africa today as they remembered the students killed 41 years ago in the township of Soweto, who took to the streets protesting the introduction of Afrikaans in schools. Afrikaans was the language spoken by the country's colonizers. Zinhle Kambule, a youth leader from Word of Faith Bible Church, decided to gather all youths from her church to commemorate this day through playing a variety of games and having fun.
More than anything, it's to keep them out of trouble. I mean, it's easy for anyone, especially in the youth, to use a free day, especially like today, to get themselves into trouble. So we decided that we want to commemorate the significance of this day and also to come together and have a good time.
One of the youths in Soweto, Tsepo Ponyane, says the sacrifices of the 1976 youth contributed to the freedom they enjoy today. However, he says as African students, they are still facing new struggles.
As young people, there is a lot of temptations, alcohol, the increase of the study fees and a lot of stuff. But most importantly is peer pressure.
Access to education, especially at tertiary level, has been the biggest challenge faced by youth in many African countries. Last year, South African universities were forced to shut down after students went on a violent protest demanding free education. But Tsepo is challenging the youth in Africa to take charge of their destiny and stop blaming those around them.
As an individual, you have to have your own goals of changing the world. You can't always be stereotyping everyone.
In other countries like Zimbabwe, unemployment among the youth has brought so much frustration that most youths have left the country for greener pastures in neighboring countries.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting. Former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl has died at the age of 87. Having led Germany for 16 years, he is remembered for reuniting the country as well as making a huge political and economic contribution to the integration of Europe. DW's Phil Gale has been speaking to our political correspondent, Robert Wiederwald, about his legacy. Take a listen.
During his tenure, there were very, very important things happening around the world, and especially here in Germany. He is the architect of German unification. When the Berlin Wall here in East Germany 1989 came down, he was a chance for unification, and he was the one who pushed. Well, he's also one of the major architects of European unification.
And so he was clearly well respected here in Germany, but internationally as well. He cut quite a figure.
Absolutely. As a single currency here in Europe, the euro wouldn't be of such importance if not Helmut Kohl had pushed Germany this currency. We have to remember the Germans were always very keen of keeping their currency, the D-mark, and without Helmut Kohl, probably we would still be paying with this currency. And we also have to see that the place of within Europe was also defined by Helmut Kohl. So several leading politicians around the world have said he was the biggest leader in Europe during his time.
Tell us about the circumstance of his death. He had been ill for some time.
Yes, and we have to understand Helmut Kohl was 87, was bound to a wheelchair. He was mentally more or less fit. His body had just given up.
That was Rupert Wiederwald talking about the legacy of the former Chancellor Helmut Kohl, who has just died at the age of 87. And this story is being discussed on all channels in Germany and, of course, elsewhere outside the world. Wanjiko, tell me, what are people saying about the death of the Chancellor?
Messages of condolences obviously are streaming in. Dan Werner says, rest in peace. Truly a uniter is gone. David Whitlock adds and says, he was a true German statesman, great influence for the world. Eric Yeager says, thank you in the name of all who you are and all and the other fathers of the reunification enabled to live in a free EU. Farewell.
For more on this story of the death of the German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, you can always visit our website, dw.com. Or even you can tune in on our live stream on dw.com and you will follow all the debate about the condolence and what people are talking about, the death of German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Now, Zambian churches urged the government to release the main opposition leader, Hakainde Hichilema, who's being held in prison over treason charges, and let him face trial under house arrest. The United Party for National Development leader, Hichilema, and five others were arrested in April, charged with treason after a number of opposition vehicles failed to make way for President Edgar Lungu's motorcade. The case has stoked political tensions in Zambia that was once seen as one of Africa's most stable and functional democracies following a bruising election last year. The five appeared in court today, but as expected, the case didn't progress so much. More this story, I spoke to DW's Kathy Sikombe in Lusaka.
They wanted the Constitutional Court to determine whether their continued stay in prison without pleading to the charges, without really being given, you know, the reasons why they have been kept in prison for more than 2 months. And that's what they wanted the court to determine, you know, and also even the famous issue of the presidential motorcade where Hakainde Hichilema was being told that he was blocking the presidential motorcade. So they wanted getting a guidance from the court on whether it was constitutional for them to have been arrested in the manner that they were arrested, and also to have just been kept in prison all this time without really having pleaded to the charges of treason, so to speak.
Now, Zambian churches have released a statement demanding that Hakainde Hichilema and he co-accused be released from the maximum prison where they're detained and perhaps be held under house arrest. Now, tell us about this statement. How much the weight does it carry anyway, and how influential is the Catholic Church?
The church is very, very influential in Zambia. And I must say that they have played a very, very important role right from the beginning. So really, their importance, their weight can never be underscored. They are a very, very important factor in Zambia's development.
Now, how divided is Zambia over Hakainde Hichilema's detention? Is it an issue that people talk and are concerned about every day?
Oh, yes. Yeah, people are very emotional here over this issue. And we have seen even some senior party officials of the ruling Patriotic Front trying to go and see Hakainde Hichilema in prison, but they've been stopped. So clearly this is an issue that has divided people here. In a way, it seems that this court case has made Hakainde Hichilema more popular than ever before. The donor community is talking about it. The church is talking about it. The political party, the media, everyone is talking about this. Even in the PF itself, they are having arguments about his continued incarceration.
I was speaking to Kathy Sikombe in Zambia, and as we mentioned before, German Chancellor Helmut Kohl has died at the age of 87. You can always follow that story by going to our website, dw.com. People are discussing about his legacy. They're talking about those who know him, his policies, etc. And Wanjiko, there's still more messages coming in that you can read.
Absolutely. Over to our Facebook page, Razak Mumuni has just commented saying he was a towering figure in European politics at the time. He did his best for his country, journey well. And we also have another comment here saying Helmut Kohl ensured the freedom and prosperity of millions. He took bold, strategic, and historic decisions. Underrated at first, celebrated now.
Well, just to remind you, German Chancellor Helmut Kohl has died, and he led Germany for 16 years. Many of the things he'll be remembered for are reuniting the country, as well as making huge political and economic contribution to a united Europe. Now, some more comments coming in about the African Day child, yeah?
William Decker says, a society that neglects its children, including their rights, neglects its own future. And Otiko Afisa Jaba says, we must ensure that no girl in Ghana is married before the age of 18. Let's support our girls to stay in school.
Thanks, indeed, Wanjiko, for those comments. In case you'd like to comment further on the stories that we are covering, just visit our Facebook page, DW Africa, and we will always read them whenever we can. We'll be right back. Well, in case you've just joined us, you're listening to DW's Africa Link program live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany, with me, Isaac Mugabe.
And me, Wanjiku Mwaura.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, a blogger talks about the challenges of blogging in Mugabe's Zimbabwe.
I think in Zimbabwe the problem is we try too much to work on the technique and not the story. So someone doesn't set up because they say, no, I've got to come up with a logo, I've got to come up with this, I've got to come up with 150 things.
And talking of the internet, remember you can still contribute to the reports that we've run so far and that we continue to run on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Correct, Wanjiku. But before all that, in the search for greener pastures and safer places to live in, many Africans take dangerous journeys across the Sahara Desert to Libya before they board rickety boats to take them across the Mediterranean Sea. This means that Libya has become the main point of departure for migrants heading to Europe. And before they reach their final destinations, they are at the mercy of smugglers and gangs. In a country ruled by militias, many migrants are trapped, forgotten, and tortured. All the smugglers and the gangs demand of them is ransom. Recently, a video went viral on social media platforms like Facebook, showing emaciated migrants being tortured by the gangs and calling for help from their families to send the ransom money. Before we came on air, I spoke to the spokesperson for the International Organization for Migration, IOM, Leonard Doyle, about this video and what can be done to avert such unfortunate situations. Listening.
We learned about this video from the families who had contacted somebody. So the videos which we've seen are just absolutely shocking. You're seeing emaciated, starving people, some of whom have had their limbs broken, who are being videotaped so that they can get money out of their families back in Somalia and elsewhere. It's truly, truly shocking. And we don't really know what can be done because Libya is in such a terrible state.
You say you don't know exactly what has to be done, and you're the spokesperson of the International Organization for Migration. Is your organization going to just sit back, relax, and fold its arms just like anyone else has done?
Well, we're not a policing organization, of course, but we are working in Libya and we're trying to identify the location of the migrants to see if they can be rescued, traced and rescued with the collaboration of the Libyan authorities, such as we can get. All the UN family is concerned about it, obviously, and working extremely hard to get it. Among these are refugees and migrants. There are young people, vulnerable migrants, women who are being sexually abused. You name it, it's happening to them.
How challenging has it been for your organization to involve other stakeholders in a bid to see that, you know, migrants wanting to cross the Mediterranean are perhaps advised, you know, to return home and begin a new life there without having to put their lives in danger?
Well, migrants, of course, are leaving home for very good reasons. They are in a bad way financially, or maybe they're being encroached upon through climate change, or maybe they've been run out of town for whatever reason. So they're not necessarily willing or ready to listen to our advice. We have various approaches and we intend to continue doing so, but it's a very difficult issue. And unless the world invests heavily in trying to communicate with the migrants about the grave dangers, we fear that we will see many, many more simply going through again.
And have other organizations or other stakeholders like the UN or other humanitarian organizations being helpful in your efforts to see this coming to an end?
Everybody's working together. The UN country team in Libya is working together. Everybody's doing their best, but it's a difficult, difficult situation because, as everybody knows, Libya is run by gangs and militias. They're very powerful. They have a lot of connections. And there is no UN peacekeeping force, for example, in Libya. The United Nations Migration Agency, IOM, is in Libya, but only in a periodic way for various reasons.
I was speaking to Leonard Doyle from the International Organization for Migration. And for those who are just tuning in, just to let you know that former Chancellor Helmut Kohl has died at the age of 87. Flags in the whole of the country are expected to fly at half mast.
Blog report.
Now, Zimbabwean bloggers have chosen to stay away from the controversy of political commentary and concentrate on lifestyle and social issues. Larry Kwelai, a Zimbabwean blogger who runs a popular blogging site, Three Men on a Boat, says the political space is congested and has become kind of narrow-minded. DW correspondent in Harare, Privilege Mushanidi, spoke to him. Listen.
In the past, stories of the preserve of people who had needed to have degrees and all that sort of thing. But now we needed to get a platform that told a story from a completely different angle, because the mainstream was telling a specific story, but there was no space for those other stories that it had no interest in, whether because of capacity or whatever editorial policies was concerned. So the idea was to say, how do we include as other voices that generally don't get a voice out there? And how do we tell the story the way we would like to read it? And that contributed to the success of the platform.
Blogging is about free expression and things that you experience on an everyday basis. But looking at the Zimbabwean scene, as compared maybe probably to other countries like Kenya, you have so many bloggers, but some people compare Zimbabwe na blogging experience as lower than the Kenyan experience. Why is it so in Zimbabwe?
I think in Zimbabwe the problem is we try too much to work on the technique and not the story. So someone doesn't set up because they say, no, I've got to come up with a logo, I've got to come up with this, I've got to come up with 150 things before I even start. And yet we started off on a Blogspot platform. Just started writing. We got better as we went along. And that's the advice I will give to people who want to get into blogging. Just start writing. But as I say, the problem in Zimbabwe is we want to be great at grammar, great at so many things. We spend too much time on the technology and not on the actual product itself. So by the time we get to doing the product, we've probably lost all our energy in preparing as opposed to actually doing.
What kind of stories do you normally focus on as a blogger?
Well, we've tended to look at lifestyle as well as, current affairs, entertainment, sport, technology, and that sort of thing. Because, you know, the political space is congested and it becomes parochial. Then there was this huge gap where people are not telling the everyday stories of an underground rapper, of an underground writer, of an actor, or reviewing a song that nobody's listened to and so forth. And finding new content. And that, I think that's where the fun of the challenge is.
How much is blogging contributing to, Zimbabwean general conversations?
To be honest, the problem we have in Zimbabwe is access. The issues that are there is that it costs a lot of people to even access mainstream news platforms from within Zimbabwe. But in as far as Zimbabwe is within and outside the diaspora, the conversation is getting huge. And people are beginning to use those platforms as alternative news spaces. And there are people who say, we get our news from your platform. That's where we go to. And that's a very humbling experience to say, okay, we're leading the conversation somewhere in as far as where people want to talk.
How do you see the growth of blogging in Zimbabwe going in the near future? If all these bottlenecks, the access to internet goes down in Zimbabwe?
I think in reality, it's going to be up to the creatives. They decide where it will go. I think we have to be imaginative about how we do it. So I don't think we should ever blame the audience for deciding or not deciding to access something. If you create a platform that is, exciting enough, someone will come in and watch and read it. They will come to your platform if they think you respect them enough to give them consistent quality content. And I think it's got to be down to the owner. The onus has got to be on the creatives to make their platforms attractive and get people involved in conversations that matter to them. Because sometimes our conversations are not things that people are interested in. And we think, oh, why are people not coming to our platforms? And we blame everything except what we do.
That was Zimbabwean blogger Larry Kwirai speaking to our own Privilege Mushaniri. And it's that time of the week when we talk about sports. We are now joined by DW Sports editor Chuck Penfold. And to begin with, Chuck is telling us about the Confederation Cup and Germany's chances of winning the trophy after the coach, Joachim Löw, decided to go with a much younger but inexperienced squad.
Yeah, in German they've been calling this a prospektive Mannschaft, sort of a almost experimental team. It is a team that's made up, it's a very young team, as you said, made up of a lot of players without so much experience. So we have to remember that Löw's focus is not on winning this. It is on, preparing team players on the team possibly for the future. If Germany can win it, they'd be happy to do so, mm-hmm. But that's not his top priority. His top priority is the World Cup.
And does he want to give the youngsters also a chance to shine, or it's a technical maneuver that he came up with his with his managers or his assistants ahead of the next World Cup tournament next year?
Yeah, I think what he is doing, what Löw likes to do, he's constantly sort of revamping the side gradually. He's always bringing in players that maybe wouldn't actually get into the first side right now, but he wants them to be familiar with the national team setup in case they're required at short notice. And he wants to give players, as you said, a chance to shine and maybe put themselves in the framework for next year's World Cup.
Now, to get to a more, you know, interesting topic that has made, you know, people talk so much, even on social media, is about Cristiano Ronaldo, who, according to a local Portuguese newspaper, has informed Real Madrid that he wants to leave Spain as a country. And could it be due to the recent tax fraud allegations? Or how about the intentions even before that?
Well, I hadn't heard anything about that before this. And the paper you referred to, called Abola, I hope I'm more or less pronouncing that right, has said that Ronaldo was deeply disenchanted with these allegations that came up against him a few days ago. Just as a reminder, Spanish prosecutors have filed a lawsuit against him, accusing him of defrauding the Spanish tax authorities of 14.7 million euros by hiding his image rights between 2011 and 2014. Ronaldo has said he's done nothing wrong, but it seems to be quite an emotional reaction.
Okay, well, now, with effect from next year, we understand that Champions League matches here in Germany will only be broadcast on pay TV. Where does this leave soccer enthusiasts who can't afford this pay TV?
It's disappointing. I wonder if the Champions League and UEFA are doing themselves a disservice in the long term. You see with other sports that don't get the exposure on free TV that over time it hurts them. But it is definitely a disappointing thing for fans here. I wonder how long this will go on for, because it, of course, you know, they want to maximize their revenue. But on the other hand, I think it's important to have the tournament on free TV to maintain its broad exposure, which it does get through free TV.
I was speaking to DW's sports editor, Chuck Penfold. And just to bring you up to speed, German Chancellor Helmut Kohl has died and tributes keep on flowing on Twitter. I can see in front of me, the New York Times has paid tribute to him, the BBC, and so is the CNN and other major media outlets. And Wanjiko, you have some comments there, don't you?
Yes, and just to add on the number of people that are still paying tribute to him, George W. Bush has also released a letter of condolence to him and his family. And in it, he says, "Barbara and I mourn the loss of a true friend of freedom and the man I consider one of the greatest leaders in post-war Europe."
And one thing that you know, my eye is that they're all crediting him for reuniting Germany once again. Like the New York Times says, all whatever Germany is benefiting from, or all the joys of Germany today have to be credited to Helmut Kohl. So it shows you what kind of legacy that, you know, he has left behind.
Yes, indeed. And one of the chief news anchor at DW News, that's Brent Goff, has just tweeted and said he was the first political leader I interviewed in Germany during the fall of the Berlin Wall in October 1999. He says, rest in peace, Helmut Kohl.
If you're listening now, you can always send your tributes to our Facebook page, DW Africa. And back to our top story, the African Child Day. Wanjiku, there are some comments still coming in. Like I can see a Norman Billy who says, let's teach African children every day that they're not inferior to others or to other races or children from other continents.
And Jamila Abdullahi, who is actually someone we have interviewed on the blogger report here, tweeted and said, dear African child, it's your time to laugh, to play, to learn, to care, and to bloom into the magic that you are. Happy African Child Day. Quite affectionate there.
James Wanzala says, the world would be boring without children. They're the ones who make you happy back home evening if you had a bad day. True that.
And Joyce Handanu says, leaving no child behind is key to a future in peace and prosperity. And Dawn asks, what is worth the wonder in a child's eyes?
Alex Eze says, today is the day of the African child, and I believe all children in Africa deserve equitable access to quality education. Before we wind up, a reminder of our top story. Once again, German Chancellor Helmut Kohl has died at the age of 87, and tributes continue to pour in. And on behalf of the entire production crew with me in the studios and my colleague Wanjiko Maura, I'm Isaac Mugabe wishing you a splendid weekend ahead.